How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 62 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes and search Locked On Thunder to subscribe to the podcast there. You can leave a review. Once you're there, also find us on audioboom.com too. Log on to normantranscript.com and check out my blog, Thunder Road, under the sports tab on the site for more Thunder coverage. I'm on every day of the week now, Monday through Friday. And if you hear that noise in the background, well, I don't know if you can hear that or not. It sounds like a big motorcycle going by. What is that? Oh, it's a train. Wow. So guess where I am? I am outside the BOK Arena, or BOK Center in Tulsa right now, in my car in a parking lot. Some podcasters get really nice studios, and I am in my car in my parking lot at 11:50 p.m. right now. The Thunder just lost to the Grizzlies, 110-94. That game, obviously, in Tulsa at the BOK Center over here. It was a fun game. Thunder now 1-3 in the preseason, and I figured, you know what, I'm going to podcast here before I get back to Oklahoma City, so I can at least have some amount of energy as opposed to podcasting just so early in the morning or late at night, depending on your vantage point. Let's talk some themes of the game, though. I asked for some suggestions just from people on Twitter. Got some really good ones, actually, so honestly, thank you for making my life a little bit easier and outlining this one, just throwing some Twitter questions in and making it easy. I'll take them right now, and then I'm going to head home. First one from Nate. Is Victor Oladipo okay? He seemed to leave the game early in the third, and he only played 17 minutes. Is he on a minutes restriction as well now? It's a good question. Billy Donovan didn't talk about this after the game. We didn't ask him. I think he's fine. There was no injury or anything like that, at least to my knowledge. 17 minutes is not anything to worry about. Russell Westbrook only played 15 minutes. He clearly just wanted to get his guards, you know, first half playing time. Russell Westbrook didn't get in the second half at all. I don't think there's anything to worry about. I didn't think Oladipo played very well today. I also think that means absolutely nothing. Not playing well in the fourth preseason game really doesn't mean anything. I think the 17 minutes, my educated guess, it was predetermined, just like the 15 were for Russell Westbrook. Westbrook had played the first and third in the first three games of the preseason, and he played the first and second on Thursday night. I'm losing track of days and time and everything. It's amazing. Like, the season just has, it's all, basketball season is one day to me. Thursday night, Russell Westbrook played the first and second, and Victor Oladipo, I think, was just on a similar plan. I don't think there's anything to worry about or anything to judge from that. I think it was just, you know, normal resting patterns. That sound is my car locking. This is an organic podcast. This is an organic environment. I was FaceTiming with my brother while I was putting the outline of this thing into a Word document on my computer, which is like crammed between my belly and my steering wheel right now. And I was FaceTiming with my brother, and he was so confused as to the environment that I was in right now, sitting in a car parked inside this lot outside the arena. Next one. This was the first one that came in, I think. So congrats to Jake Tatarian. Samaje Kristen, is he going to make the roster? Who would you rather have as a backup or third string backup with Cam out and third string once Cam is back? Would you rather have him or Ronnie Price in that role? I have kind of a weird answer to that. I'd rather have Samaje Kristen as my backup point guard. I think he's obviously younger. He's got more upside. I think he might be the better player right now. I'm also wary about judging a guy on some preseason performances. But I'm cool with the opinion that Kristen's the better player right now. As a third point guard, as a third guy, I might lean more toward Ronnie Price. At the very least, I understand the argument as to why Ronnie Price is the third, would be a better third point guard. He's, you know, a scrappier practice player. He can give Russell Westbrook a harder time in practice. He can give Cameron Payne a harder time in practice just because of his feistiness, you know, guarding the ball and guarding pick and rolls and that kind of stuff, which I think helps a lot with development and that kind of stuff with those guys. And they, you know, not necessarily development of Westbrook, but development of Payne and just keeping Westbrook on his toes during practices. Although maybe it's possible Russell Westbrook is a guy who just doesn't need that stuff. Maybe he doesn't need someone to keep him on his toes. I'm willing to believe that too. Is he going to make the roster? I don't really see how. I don't see how he'll make the roster. You know, the Thunder have three guys on guaranteed contracts right now who are point guards, and Cameron Payne and Ronnie Price and obviously Russell Westbrook. They have 16 guys on guaranteed contracts overall. They're only allowed to have 15 on opening night. For Kristen to make the roster, they can't just, you know, waive a guy. They need to do a 3-for-1. They need to get two guys off the roster, or they need to make a 3-for-1 trade, or they need to waive two. They would need to get super crafty to find a way to get Kristen on the roster on opening night. I don't know how it would happen. I'm trying to figure out how it would happen. I just don't know. I don't know how they could get him on the roster, but I think he's an NBA player, though. I think he's an NBA caliber player, and there are people in the Thunder who insist he's an NBA caliber player, and I know they like him. I know they like him, but they give two guaranteed years to Ronnie Price. I think you can make an argument that that was, you know, I know the Thunder have always liked Ronnie Price, especially for character and locker room reasons, and he's great with that stuff. I think you can make an argument that the Ronnie Price deal wasn't the best. If you think Kristen's better, I think that's a totally fair argument. He's a guy you can get for a tad cheaper than Ronnie Price, who they give to, you know, $2.5 million a year to. And not even that, but, you know, if Ronnie Price, even if you like him more as a third stringer and don't as much as a second, and that's kind of the way it goes, you know, they didn't set themselves up for the best insurance if Cameron Payne were to, you know, have a setback or re-injure the foot like he ended up doing or something like that. And I think that's a fair criticism. I'm sure they have a comeback to that, because I don't think they just disregarded Cameron Payne's injury in making the Price signing. I don't think that was the case at all. But I think that's a fair argument. I think if you approach me with that, I think that's pretty rational. I just don't see a scenario, though. I mean, Kristen played 28 minutes tonight. He got to the paint pretty well. Plays with a pretty good pace. He's athletic. He's long. He defends hard. He's pretty good. He's a pretty good player. I think he's an NBA caliber player. I don't think there's any question about that at this point. I mean, I don't know if he'd be. There are a lot of NBA caliber players who don't actually end up playing in the NBA. But I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him become, you know, have a career. I don't know if it's going to be with the Thunder this year. I struggle to see how they make room for him. From Hunter Albert, Caleb Tarzewski, another training camp guy. You guys are loading up on the training camp, guys. Caleb Tarzewski, is he staying with the D-League or going elsewhere? I think he'll be with the Blue this year. He played really well tonight, Tarzewski. I mean, look, Tarzewski's not going to be on the roster. It's not. Don't kid yourselves there. He's not going to be on the roster. He played well. He had a nice dunk in traffic. He swatted Zach Randolph. He had 10 rebounds in 20 minutes. He was super active. He played so hard. He was playing so hard. The first couple of minutes, I actually laughed a couple of times because he was just first time in an NBA game, and he was so amped. I mean, you know, it's nice to watch a guy who comes out and is just so amped. You know, it's a dream coming true. It's like really a dream coming true, getting into an NBA game like that. And, you know, that's got to be really exciting for him. You know, you just got to be happy for a guy like that. And he was calling. No one would ever accuse him of not playing hard tonight. I mean, he was going about 1,000,000% every second of the way. From friend of the show, a former guest, Locked On Warriors host, you should listen to Locked On Warriors. It's very good. If you can take the content of Locked On Warriors, you should listen to Locked On Warriors. It's very good. He's got about 500 podcasts. But Danny LaRue tweeted in an incredibly creative and super expansive suggestion. He just, when I asked if anyone had suggestions for topics on the podcast, he just tweeted me, Huestis. Josh Huestis. Josh Huestis says he's played pretty well last couple of games. I'm going to take this as I'm going to talk about Josh Huestis and Kyle Singler in tandem, though, because they're kind of a singular being right now. So Andre Roberson was out. They had six guys out today. So they had Roberson out. They had Adams out. They had, obviously, Payne out. They had Ronnie Price out with the concussion. They had Mitch McGarry out. And they had Enes Kanter out. Enes Kanter, left knee soreness, precautionary. Kanter even said after the game, not a big deal. Billy Donovan said precautionary. He said it was like the Roberson thing. I don't think there's anything to worry about with those guys. But I've got, you know, I'll talk about the injuries a little bit later on the podcast and not too long. Huestis and Singler. Singler hit his shots, 5 of 6 from three. How about that? Kyle Singler now 9 of 12 from three the last two games. Thunder now have the highest three-point percentage of any team in the preseason. Doesn't matter. Couldn't matter less. Legitimately couldn't matter less from every perspective. From the fact that it's the preseason, from the fact that it's a four-game sample size, but like, whatever. Fun fact, Thunder is shooting 43.6% from three, which is the best of NBA team, of any NBA team. The only two preseason teams who have played an NBA team who have a higher three-point percentage this fall are Real Madrid and FC Barcelona, the two teams who played the Thunder because they shot ridiculous percentages against the Thunder. So there's your fun fact. But Huestis and Singler, playing well, doing very different things. I didn't realize that Huestis was such a good weak side defender until the last couple of games. He's really heady as a weak side defender. I knew he was a good athlete with good defensive potential and long, and he could leap, and he could guard guys in the perimeter, and he could fight down low, and he could block some shots for a wing, which is a great trait to have in a wing, especially when you have a bunch of fours who just, you know, are not defensive-minded guys. Pretty much all their fours are offensive-minded, whether you're playing Kanter at the four. You know, if Sabonis is going to play with the starters, and you're talking about second units potentially, you know, Ilyasova is a, you know, an offensive-minded guy, and Laverne's an offensive-minded guy, and if you're playing Kanter there, he's an offensive-minded guy, and it's nice to get some ring protection from a three, if you can do that. But Donovan played him at the three, played him at the four. He was versatile. He was switching a ton. I like his switchability. He's very switchy, which I really like. He's a modern defender. He really is. He's pretty bright in the weak side. He had one possession, which I thought was really impressive, which the ball came over. He was guarding on the left side, on the weak side, and he was guarding James Enes on the weak side. And the ball came over to the right, and the Thunder pressured the strong side, and Huestis kind of rotated over to the nail and kind of guarded two guys who were on the weak side. He really manned both those guys at the same time very well. It was just strong team defense. The ball swung back around to Enes. Huestis recovered immediately, anticipated that swing, closed out on him, forced him to drive, stayed in front of him on the drive, and he forced just a terrible turnaround, you know, 18-footer with a hand right in his face to James Enes, who's not, you know, it's a bad shot for a guy who's, you know, layups and threes. He's 3-and-D James Enes. You haven't taken that shot, especially with a hand in his face. I mean, it was a great defensive possession from Huestis, and he's capable of that kind of stuff, you know, on a consistent basis, which I think he might be. I mean, that's a really good defensive player. I mean, I think next to Adams and Roberson, I think you can make an argument that Josh Huestis is the most versatile defender on this team. I think that's a fair statement. The question is that enough to get him playing time? I don't know if it is, and here's the issue. I think Josh Huestis is going to be, I mean, he's better than I realized he was. And that's just because I hadn't really seen him play. He played 5 NBA games and that was it. But I think the issue is if Kyle Singler gives the Thunder a better chance at shooting, Huestis is a great athlete. He's going to be better in transition than Singler. I think he's a better defender than Singler. But this is a team that's going to be looking for shooting. They're going to want shooting. They're going to be scouring the bench for any type of shooting they can possibly find. And Kyle Singler, I think, gives them a better chance at that. Now, one of the things with Singler is you can't look at Singler and be like, oh, he's 9 for 12 in two preseason games. A bunch of those minutes came against lineups that didn't have, you know, NBA players in them. You know, how's that going to work with him coming off the bench? You know, can the 9 for 12 keep up? I don't think that's fair. You have to look at how those shots are coming. And with Singler, a big thing is just the confidence. Just getting back the confidence. You talk to anyone who knows Singler, they all say he's just got to get back confidence. He doesn't. Once he loses the confidence, he loses his caliber of play. And he was solid in Detroit. He was a legitimately useful NBA player on two sides of the ball. He was a useful NBA player. I don't know if maybe these shots are the value in the shots that he's making now are just added confidence. I don't know if that's possible. I mean, he like ran a pick and roll and made a bounce pass pocket pass tonight to Tarzewski. You never see him do that. You never see him try that. Maybe the big deal is that he actually just tried it, and maybe that confidence, you know, that extra ability to just try it, maybe that comes from the shots that he was making. Maybe he's just a guy like that. Another issue is that he's been playing with the starters, and I don't think it's a coincidence that he's playing well when he's playing with Russell Westbrook on the floor. All of his shots, pretty much all of his threes that he's making, are open weak side corner threes. Guess who's really good at creating open weak side corner threes? Russell Westbrook. So when he's not playing with Russell Westbrook, is he going to be able to get those shots? And if he doesn't get those shots, is he going to have his effectiveness? But the Thunder are going to be looking for shooting. And that's something that Singler gives. I mean, Huestis, I think, does a bunch of things well. But he's a little redundant with Andre Roberson. Are the Thunder going to want Roberson's backup to be a guy who is basically a similar player, does a lot of things that Roberson does, but not necessarily on Roberson's level yet? Or are they going to want it to be a guy who more complements him as a shooter, who can actually guard pretty capably on the ball when he's going well and he's not? You know, Singler, when he was in Detroit, was a pretty good defensive player. Are they going to want that guy who can shoot, or a 3-and-D guy, to complement Roberson? Or are they going to want, you know, that are they going to overlook the redundancy with Huestis? My guess, my educated guess, is that Huestis and Singler are going to be jumping each other consistently throughout the year. Donovan might play hot streaks. He might play matchups. You know, he might play when a guy's feeling it. He might just leave him out there. I have a feeling it's going to go back and forth a lot. It's my educated. I just get that feeling. You know, you can. I'm always one to make fun of people when they present theories without any evidence at all, but that's really mine. I just think that both those guys are going to jump each other a lot. But it's an interesting conversation because both of them have been pretty capable in the last two games, and I'm curious to see what happens with it. From Nick Worthman, how concerning are all these injuries? I told you I'd get to the injuries. I listed the six guys who were out already. I mean, I guess Ronnie Price could be concerning because who wants to mess? You never want to mess with a concussion. Concussions are always scary. That's always scary. You never want to mess with a concussion. And, you know, obviously Payne's is, you know, he fractured the same bone in his foot twice. So that's concerning. But Adams, I assume you're talking about, you know, the new ones. Adams, nah, I'm not concerned. He's walking around. He's not limping. I'm not too worried about Steven Adams. I think he's going to be back soon. Andre Roberson, same thing. I wouldn't be surprised if Roberson played again in the preseason. You know, I think he'll certainly be back at the start of the regular season, and I feel the same way about Enes Kanter. So I really don't think those injuries are a concern at all. Before we go, I realize I didn't get to Russell Westbrook's comments on KD. You may have seen those. They were all over Twitter. They were all over everything you possibly could have seen on Thursday. You know, KD made those comments about going to the Warriors because they lost and how, you know, the team was kind of like a family and blah, blah, blah. And Russ had some comments, which I'm not going to lie, they made me laugh. I laughed. I'm not going to quite give a take on that yet because I wanted to play the sound and that kind of stuff. And honestly, I just want to get back to OKC, and I figured I could tease it a little bit, and I will talk about it though. I'm going to talk about it when we come back on, you know, Monday or Tuesday, something like that. Monday is going to be a wrap up of Sunday night's game. Maybe I'll get to it then. If not, then I'll get to it on Tuesday, and I'll give some more coherent thoughts about this than I already have. Before we go, remember I'm on every weekday, Monday through Friday. last show of the week right now. You can head on to iTunes to subscribe to Locked On Thunder. If you have questions or comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Fred Katz, FREDKATZ. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs, and check out Thunder Road. That's my blog that I mentioned at the top of the show, and you can follow team coverage and what's next for the Thunder there. That's going to do it for today. Off for the weekend, like I said before, back Monday with a preview of the Timberwolves game, which they're playing on Sunday night. That's the first one that's actually in Oklahoma City. Won't have to do it from my car. Can do it from my home after the game. Until next time, though, Locked On Thunder is locking up.
The High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and oldnavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10. Select styles only.